The Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ's The Real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first hour, pretty much all about a baseball fight. Mentioned some other fights, too. Yeah. But most of the texters seem to think I've never been in a fight in my life. I have news for you. I've been in quite a few, just none for the last few years. I'm too old now. I'm retired. But I've been in a few. In the last one, the guy got dropped with one punch, but then again, he was a little dude. So,
that's what you get for beating up little guys.
He hit me first. Oh. I got to tell a story. I was at a Weezer concert. It was about 9 years ago, and I was on the phone telling my brother that it was the dorkiest concert I'd ever been to in terms of the people there, and a little guy got offended, and he hit me. And then he hit me again, and I'm just like, dude, you do it again, I got to punch you. So he reared back to hit me a third time, and I just dropped him before he could do it.
Well, there you go.
It's a lot more effective than Odor's punch. But dude was probably about 180. And he made a nice smacking sound when he hit the floor, too. It was pretty cool. But that was a long time ago. I don't do that kind of stuff anymore, man. I'm retired from that. There's no reason. I'm old. Anyway, so now it looks like the weather's fine after all this rain we had again. Did you get caught in any of that crap Saturday?
I didn't get it too bad. I mean, we went to Galveston to the beach on Saturday. And
I know you love the beach.
Oh, yeah. And I've got sunburn for it. That's what I get for doing something my family wanted to do. But it was nice down there. It was beautiful. And then on the way home, it was like we were driving into the apocalypse.
Yeah, it was that storm had hit Saturday night. My son's prom was Saturday night. And he was all excited about going. Well, he goes out in his car and he lives in Meyerland, which is the worst flooding area of the city, probably. So he gets basically stuck, so he can't go. And my ex is calling me frantically, like, can you come get him? And I'm like, I'm not driving a Camaro into Meyerland where it's flooded right now.
To save your son's life?
He was at a friend's house to take him to his prom.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, no.
You didn't have a limo?
Well, I got it taken care of.
All right.
But
you didn't call Get Me, did you?
I did, as a matter of fact. And they took care of him. So
what'd they come in?
They came in an SUV.
Oh, okay. That's
so took care of him. And
so you can't take your chick to a date or to prom in a Honda Civic.
Well, he was meeting people there. So okay. But the funniest part about it was she's like, don't you have an Expedition? I go, oh yeah, you mean the one that I almost died in 4 months ago and haven't had since?
Yeah.
I know we don't keep up with each other or anything, but no, I have a Camaro.
So I go buy her own car.
Well, she was freaking out, but he got there. They took care of him. The best part was I find out, she tells me the next day, maybe you can find out why he came in at 4 a.m.
She's like, trying to get some sex, like, probably.
Dude, it's his prom. If he wants to come in at 4, it's perfectly fine. I'm not worried about him. So I took him to lunch yesterday. You know what he was doing? This is totally my son, playing Texas Hold'em.
Oh.
But Get Me took care of him. So I want to thank Michael and the guys for that, because he got to his prom. He would not have gotten there otherwise, and I damn sure wasn't going to pick him up. But man, that came out of nowhere, because it really didn't look like it was going to be much, and then all of a sudden it was coming down so hard outside of my place I mean it just looked completely gray. You couldn't see anything, even lights, and then nothing. This weather's got to stop. It's enough of the flooding. We need like 2 or 3 weeks of really good weather. We'll do We'll do Game of Thrones at 5:30, by the way. We also need to talk about Banshee today at some point.
Oh, yeah.
There's only one of those left. Yeah. 832 asks, at plus 300, does OKC have good enough value to place a series bet on them versus Golden State?
Is that good value, technically?
Yeah, it's good value.
Is it a good bet? No. Not for me.
Not unless you think that the Warriors are starting to show some vulnerability here. But even so, they've lost two games in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're okay.
And I was happy to see the Raptors get to the finals, mainly because it'd be nice to see the Cavaliers play again. It's been, what, a month? But, yeah, they've got good fans up there. They deserve that. They're going to get swept. But at least they got to the conference finals. So they've got that. 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, but now everybody's wanting to talk about game. Got to wait till 5:30. When do we want to talk about Banshee, though? Because that deserves a little attention this week, too.
Whenever.
Okay.
We can do that at 6 o'clock.
We'll do that at 6 o'clock, yeah. So if you are behind on Banshee, then 6 o'clock.
You're warned.
Yeah. And if you're behind on Game of Thrones, 5:30. Just find something else to do for one segment. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Do we want to do any more on this fight? I think it's...
I don't know. We can take one more call.
We'll do one more call from Jeff. He's been patiently on hold, so... Go ahead, Jeff.
Sports.
Sports to you, Jeff.
I just want to touch on the Odor and Batista thing. I heard people say that he should be suspended anywhere from 20 to 30 games. I'm in agreement with you guys. I think it should be only at the maximum 5 games because it was just a punch. Grown men take punches to the face all the time. I would be more worried about a 9,500-mile-an-hour fastball hitting me in my ribs or my back than getting landed a punch landed on my face. Well, yeah. That's how I look at it. I mean, you can't eat a punch, but that's unwritten rules. You can't punch somebody, but you made a dirty play, and, you know, you had a late slide going into second base. What do you expect the guy to do? You try to take out his knees. You know, I would be more fearful of a 100-mile-an-hour fastball coming at my back than somebody punching me.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on who's punching.
Well, that 9,500-mile-an-hour fastball is the one that would scare me that he mentioned first. Yeah, because that'll put a hole in you, clean through you, man. Yeah, I mean, but the reality is, somebody brought this up, you know, if you punch a guy in a bar, you probably go to jail. Why is it okay for them to do it on a field? It's just one of those things that's always been part of games. You can get away with it unless you do something like if you take a bat to somebody. Yeah, you're going to jail. If you had taken a bat and smashed somebody in the face with it,
yeah,
you're going to be in trouble for that. You're going to go to jail for that. But in reality, I don't know. It's Nolan says just saw the road rage video. That was fabulous. Surprised no one was packing heat though. What a shame. Yeah, that is kind of rare in Houston, Texas, to have that kind of a brawl take place and nobody's got a weapon.
Probably a good thing.
It is. Somebody would have been dead there.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, yeah.
But yeah, if you're planning on getting out of the car in a road rage incident, I wouldn't get out of the car in a road rage incident unless I was packing.
Yeah.
It's a good way to get shot if you're not.
I usually keep something to protect myself in the car just in case, because I know how people act. But the reality is, I don't mess with people who are acting like road rage.
The reality is, I don't get out of my car like an a-hole because I'm a grown-ass man and I know how to behave.
And
I understand there's bad drivers.
I'm not intentionally cut somebody off just because I don't like them. If you're trying to get over and I'm your last resort before you can get over, I'm going to let you over. And you know what? If I accidentally do something to cut you off or something, I'm going to give the little wave and apologize. That's it. I'm not going to get in a fight over a freaking, especially on this in Houston. If you got mad at everybody who drove like an idiot, you wouldn't be able to get from point A to point B without getting out of your car 10 times.
I think if anyone should be mad, the white guy should be mad that his girlfriend left the house dressed like that.
I think you should be mad at yourself if that's your girlfriend.
Listen, he's no catch.
Wow.
All right. Guys, I got to tell you about Deep South Barrels. If you have a really ugly girlfriend and you can't afford good booze to get yourself through life, this is a great conversation starter for you right here. Get these Deep South Barrels. First of all, Deep South Barrels is a local company. They're down in Pearland. They're doing great stuff. They're making these personal-sized aging barrels that let you turn bad booze into good booze in 30 days. It's as simple as that. It's really an amazing process. Could get into it. I won't. But it takes all the impurities. The wood takes the impurities out of the bad booze. Or you could take just a plastic jug of vodka, add some of these bootlegging essences, and turn it into a clone of some of the best-tasting booze in the world. People have been asking me which combo they should go with from Deep South Barrels. So I got with those guys. We created an option based on my favorites. The double barrel package comes with 2 2-liter aging barrels, one for bourbon, one for whiskey, a stand to display your barrels with a complimentary shot glasses, and your choice of bourbon and whiskey bootlegging essences. Don't forget to use my promo code Hoffman when you check out. You're going to get an additional 10% off the sticker price. That's deepsouthbarrels.com. Age your spirits to perfection with the double barrel package from Deep South Barrels. deepsouthbarrels.com.
ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Soccer Bilal asked, did you guys talk about the hoax bomb from Manchester United? That was, oh man, what a, it's one of those things when you first saw it and then they found what they thought was a bomb and they had a controlled explosion. You're like, wow, this is bad stuff. At least it all worked. They got everybody out of there. If you haven't seen the story, it turns out they canceled the game. It was a fake bomb from a security exercise that they'd done a week before that somebody had left there. And so you wind up having this evacuation and all these problems over something that some idiot left there.
Stupid.
And not only that, how do you not notice it for a week?
I don't know. that seems like that's security guards there should be, people should be questioning that.
Yeah. 713-780-ESP is your number if you want to get in. There was that, and there was one other soccer story that I wanted to share because it's just kind of quintessentially soccer. Apparently, in Turkey, the fans are a little crazy. Did you see what happened when their team got relegated?
No.
They set the soccer stadium on fire.
Oh.
Because their team lost the last week and got dropped down a level. The fans were so pissed, they set the field on fire. It's the Turkish
Super League. Don't get any ideas, Astros fans.
Yeah, although it would be probably best if the Astros did get relegated right now. They'd probably do okay in AAA. Yeah. At least you know Jonathan Singleton would be able to contribute for you. But the Super League team, Eskişehirspor.
Oh, that's my favorite team.
Lost on the final day of the season. They were relegated from the country's top league. And so the fans were so angry, they set the stadium on fire. That is not how you behave, okay?
No, that's poor sportsmanship.
Yeah, I'm sorry your team lost. I don't think burning the field is going to fix things for you. Anyway, that was my other soccer story. I'm done with soccer now.
Did you see this? I guess it's in L.A., this weather girl who was in the middle of her weather forecast and, like, a hand came out of the side of the screen holding up a sweater. The chick was wearing like a cute little black dress. I mean, she didn't look like a, she looked like what? I mean, she looked like a hot weather lady, which
right,
that's how you're supposed to look. That's, a weather lady.
Yeah, especially if you're in California, you better be hot.
I mean, yeah, they're not hiring pigs for this job. Let's face it.
Yeah. The poor woman who was in the fight here, she would not get that job.
No, even if she was really good at predicting the weather, wouldn't matter.
She could play a hurricane.
Stop it. So they started They hand her a sweater while she's delivering a weather report after multiple viewers complained that the dress she was wearing was inappropriate for a Saturday morning weather broadcast.
What? Who complains about stuff like
this?
She
said, what's going on? You want me to put this on? Why? Because it's cold?
I have the whole thing. Oh, I have it. You want to pick
play it? Yeah, we'll see how it works.
16 sunrises that's every day. That's enough. Pretty cool when you think about
that's
that.
Really
that's
cool.
Very neat.
Yeah. I think I saw that on my Twitter, and I thought, wow, that's very, very cool. Also cool, the weather. We have temperatures right now in the 60s, and when it's all said and done, we're talking 70. So a little bit cooler than we were yesterday, and it certainly looks gray out there, about 45 miles an hour. So that wind advisory in place tonight and even into tomorrow. What's going on? You want me to put this on? Why? Because it's cold?
I'm getting a lot of emails.
What?
There you go.
Really?
There you go.
Okay.
That's
I look like a librarian now. I need.
That works. It's a librarian who's gone to a cocktail party.
You know what? How about this?
There you go.
I'm going to go.
There you go. Everyone's got an opinion about your dress this morning, but.
That's how it's staged to me.
That's almost like, isn't that borderline sexual harassment?
I think that was staged to get attention. That would be my guess.
I don't know.
That sounded pretty fake. You don't do that in the middle of a broadcast.
Like, I'm looking at the dress, and it's not overly sexual. I mean, it's a little black dress. It goes down to her knees.
I think they did it to get attention.
I don't know.
Otherwise, why? I mean, you would wait until she's done, and then you say, "Oh, you might want to put this on. We gotta, do that on air."
Yeah, very strange.
Hmm.
But I would think you could kind of get in trouble for that.
You would think. I don't see anything in this dress that's any different than I see.
We're getting a lot of emails.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably a lot of dudes saying, "Hey, you got a hot weather chick."
Yeah. Let's get that dress shorter.
Even though she's like an LA6, probably.
But yeah.
Still.
Yeah. But that's still a 9 most places.
Oh, yeah. In the real world,
yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. So I know there's actual odds on this, but I'll ask you your opinion. If you had to say who would be more likely to lose, in your opinion, the Cavs or the Warriors? I mean, I don't think either one of them is going to.
The Warriors?
Yeah, I guess because they have a better opponent, for one thing. And the Cavs are playing really, really well. And I think this extra time off is only going to help them. They got a little bit banged up. I think now they're getting healthier. And, man, they're playing at such a high level. And I know it's the Eastern Conference, and there's just not that much over there. I think the West is certainly stronger at the top, but kind of hard to fault what they're doing. All they do is beat the crap out of people and win every game. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Were you impressed with the Raptors Game 7 performance?
Yeah, I was. As much as I kind of figured at some point, they were the better team. They weren't much better. The Heat just they kind of got in that situation in the second half where they just quit when they got down by about 15. It was pretty obvious that they were done. So it was impressive, but I don't think they're any match for the Cavs. I'd be surprised if they. I would say most likely result, Cavs in 5, maybe 6. Maybe they win 2 games, but I don't really see it. I think they'll win 1.
I think they should, if they win 1, I'd be impressed the way the Cavs are playing. The Heat did an interesting, I say interesting, I thought it was dumb, but I'm not a basketball coach. They played most of that game with Justice Winslow at the 5.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Bismack Biyombo just had his way. I mean, the Toronto bigs in general just had their way on the boards, scoring. It was just.
That dude has just turned into a hero all of a sudden, too. I mean, he's doing everything.
Well, when you put a small forward on a center and say, hey, guard this guy, that tends to happen.
Yeah. But I thought that was a little weird. But for the most part, I look at those teams and I don't see much difference between them. And it's kind of like I've said from the beginning, 2 through 7 in the East, they're all kind of the same team. I mean, they're all pretty close. And, the Raptors played well enough to win the series, and good for them. I'm glad that they, I'm glad they got a chance to get to the conference finals, but I think it's pretty foregone at this point.
They're in trouble.
I'll be surprised if they can make a series out of it.
The Cavaliers are good, man. I'm still saying I think the Cavaliers have the best chance of anyone to beat the Warriors. I don't know if they will, but they've got as good a chance as anybody, in my opinion.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, Game of Thrones time. So if you have not watched or you don't want any spoilers, just turn your radio down and come back at 5:45. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
To the traitor Ambassador Jon Snow, you allowed thousands of wildlings past the wall. You have betrayed your own kind. You have betrayed the North. Winterfell is mine, bastard. Come and see. Your brother Rickon is in my dungeon. His direwolf skin is on my floor. Come and see. I want my bride back. Send her to me, bastard, and I will not trouble you or your wildling lovers. Keep her from me, and I will ride north and slaughter every wildling man, woman, and babe living under your protection. You will watch as I skin them living.
Go on.
Just more of the same.
You will watch as my soldiers take turns raping your sister. You will watch as my dogs devour your wild little brother. Then I will spoon your eyes from their sockets and let my dogs do the rest. Come and see. Ramsay Bolton, Lord of Winterfell, and Warden of the North.
Lord of Winterfell and Warden of the North.
His father's dead. Ramsay killed him, and now he has Rickon.
We don't know that.
Yes, we do.
How many men does he have in his army?
I heard him say 5,000 once when he was talking about Stannis' attack.
How many do you have that can march and fight? 2,000. The rest are children and old people.
You are the son of the last true Warden of the North. Northern families are loyal. They'll fight for you if you ask. A monster has taken our home and our brother. We have to go back to Winterfell and save them both.
And we are back on the Blitz. I don't know that the North is going to get behind him. I mean, the Umbers already gave up his brother. And there is some bitterness about that whole wildling thing. So,
but the wildlings do have giants.
Well, yeah. That's one thing. They may only have 2,000, but they do have one.
Yeah.
And I think he's worth about, a couple hundred human beings at least.
That's a game changer.
Yeah. And it looks like, obviously, Littlefinger was back, which was pretty cool.
I hadn't seen him in a while. I was actually, like, surprised to see him. And what's his, that little kid's name, the nephew. The Aaron kid. I can't remember his name. The kid with the moon duel. Should we throw him in the moon duel? Yeah.
That's his only move, right?
Yeah. I didn't even recognize that kid.
He's Lord of the Vale. Yeah, he went through puberty.
Yeah, he's like grown since the last time we saw him.
But I bet he still would be breastfeeding if his mom were alive.
Probably.
But so that's the dude you want in charge. It was very cool to actually see Starks get back together again.
Yeah.
Because there's been so many instances where they've been close and it just never happened. But I thought that was pretty powerful. And
everyone thought
Robin, that's a kid's
name. That's his name. Everyone thought that Jon Snow coming back to life was like the big moment for Game of Thrones, and that was like the thing that got a lot of people excited again about the show. For me, the last scene last night where Daenerys like finally turned back into a badass. I mean, listen,
I'll believe it when I see it. That storyline has, well, for one thing, we've seen this before. We've seen her come out of the fire and suddenly have an army.
But that's so depressing. Like, because you know how badass she can be, that she's been lame for like the last two seasons.
Well, I think what we've learned is she's a terrible leader. I mean, yeah, she's got dragons, and you know, yeah, she can crawl out of the fire, but she's a horrible leader. And I don't think just getting reborn with a whole new army is going to make that much of a difference. She's going to make fatal mistakes. And the interesting thing to me about this whole episode was how powerful the female characters were. Sansa's the one driving, hey, we have to go to Winterfell. Yeah. Daenerys sort of reborn again, which, I'm going to stay skeptical on that one until I see her actually do something.
Cersei.
Cersei.
Actually having like a good plan to deal with the High Sparrow.
Right.
Like, actually work.
Yeah, so.
And Marjorie, too. Marjorie's brother is like a little bitch.
Yeah.
And Marjorie's like, hey, bro, why don't you
and Theon's sister. I mean, she's going to. So it was interesting to me throughout the entire episode how the female characters were the strong ones for the most part. Because even Jon Snow is kind of, I give him a little pass because he died. But he's like, oh, that's all I've done is fight. And so it really took Sansa hammering him. Also, just kind of a really interesting moment when Brienne runs into the Red Witch and Ser Davos.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of see that uneasy, it's like, I'm not forgiving or forgetting. I think something could happen there eventually. I don't know how that they're all going to be on the same team, if that's going to work out. But Ramsay, I'm going to be kind of sad when Ramsay's dead.
Well, how do you know he's going
to
die?
He's got to, right?
Well, he probably does.
Yeah. But he's such a perfect character in terms of just being a villain. And plus there's just things about him I like on top of that. Yeah, I can kind of see where it all comes from. And it's going to be a shame because like as much as everybody hated Joffrey, once he was dead, you lost a really good character. Yeah.
And Ramsay's like kind of been the replacement for Joffrey.
Yeah.
Although I think Ramsay might be worse than Joffrey.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I can Ramsay at least is understandable. Joffrey was just a mean punk.
Right.
Ramsay at least has plans.
But Ramsay's almost more like it's different because with Joffrey it seemed like petulance, like childish petulance.
Yeah.
And with Ramsay it seems like this dude is just a savage.
Yeah, but he has a vision for what he wants to do. I mean, he wants to be in control, and he's going to do whatever he has to do it. And he's just got that cruel thing. Somebody wants to know, is Tormund going to bang Brienne? Yeah, that looks like that's going to happen.
Gross.
Yeah, that is not a sex scene that I want to see. But it was interesting that our girl Daenerys did do another nude scene after saying she was never going to do it again.
I didn't think it was really her boobs at first, but then I was like, her.
Yeah, she said that was her, and said it was not a body double.
Do you think it was one of those things? Remember when Jon Snow died last season? Everybody was saying Jon Snow's dead, Jon Snow's dead, Jon Snow's dead, and then all of a sudden, obviously, he's alive. And maybe she did that because they were going to promise that she wasn't going to do anymore. And then when the right time came, she did a nude scene.
I think what it is that she is starting to realize that her character is not as good as it was. And everybody wants to be the star of that show, including her. And they said, listen, we've got a storyline that we can put you back on top, but it's going to require you popping those bad boys out again. And she said, I won't do it. And they said, okay, fine. We'll bring Jon Snow back to life, make him the star. And she said, okay, I'll do it. And that's what we got last night. We got the boobs.
When before we get off of Ramsay, I guess we already did, but did you know that he was originally, originally auditioned to be Jon Snow?
Oh, yeah. They cast it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's perfect casting.
Rod says, when has it not been about the women? Seriously. I don't think last season was. Last season was about Jon Snow and Tyrion. and it's kind of gone back and forth. But this one has been, I mean, so far, this season's been all about that. Now, which one of them survives will be another question. Even the wildling who was protecting Rickon at least tried to kill Ramsay. That didn't go well. So, anyway, it's to me, it was a really good episode again. And I've kind of been waiting for one that was going to drag. This one certainly didn't. I think getting the Starks back together and then making Daenerys interesting again, which I hope this leads to her getting back to Meereen, kicking everybody's ass there, beating up all the slavers that Tyrion made the deal with, and then getting her ass across the ocean and taking care of business where she's supposed to be.
Now, do you think she's going to kick Tyrion out of her little trust circle?
She's going to be angry, but listen, I think that she's probably going to eventually understand. You know, this is why people hate politicians, because they have to make compromises like this sometimes. And when you have dragons that can burn cities down with fire, you don't really like to compromise. But I think Tyrion is doing the smart thing. He understands that if he does not do something, that everything that Daenerys had already worked for is just going to be gone.
Yeah.
And I think that he did what he thought. I mean, he's a negotiator.
Right.
He's a better negotiator than she is.
And that's the thing. As much as she's a bad leader, Tyrion has always been a very good politician. And I wish he were running for president. I'd vote for him. But he did what he had to do. I know she's not going to be happy about it, but that's also kind of why she left him there, was to keep things, you know, keep things under control. Let's grab a call on this. Let George weigh in real quick. What's up, George? And you're gone. Okay. I think it's, there's all kinds of directions this could be going now. We saw, we also saw that Bran is going to make an appearance next week, which I'm kind of curious about that, because that showed the Night's King and the White Walkers. So I'm kind of curious what that's about. But, yeah.
Do you think it could be like an origin kind of thing? And maybe they can look back and see how to defeat the White Walkers, other than, you know, using, was it Dragon Glass? Is that what it's called?
Dragon Glass, and then Valyrian Steel works also. But, God, we're getting so dorky about this, aren't we? We're sitting here talking about Dragon Glass and Valyrian Steel. That's pretty pathetic, I have to admit. But we are heading for at least three big battles, right? Meereen.
Yeah.
Obviously, Winterfell. And then whatever happens.
King's Landing.
In King's Landing, yeah. With the Tyrells going in there. So you've at least got those three coming. And who knows? There may be another one. And I guess the Knights of the Vale are going to join Jon Snow and Sansa as well. So we got lots of good battles coming up.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about 511 Tactical Gear. They're a new store that just opened up right there on Westheimer. 511 Tactical Gear. It's a must stop spot for all you outdoorsmen out there in Houston. 511 Tactical. It's a brand is the authentic and first tactical brand that specializes in outdoor gear from head to toe, creating superior, innovative products to survive in outdoor conditions. These guys are making products that are built with purpose for the most demanding missions. I think back to when I was in the Army, and I wish that I had a lot of the gear they've got in this store. Then, you know, I know what it takes to live out there in the outdoors and to live in comfort under pressing circumstances. These guys have everything you could imagine needing in those kind of conditions. Store truly is an outdoorsman's paradise. They got a little bit of everything, whether it's everyday weatherproof shirts and pants with hidden pockets for you to, if you happen to be a concealed carry guy. They've got fitness gear, boots, bags, backpacks, gun cases, slings, holsters, knives. They've even got 511 yoga pants for the ladies. If you stop by the new 511 Tactical Store located at 5870 Westheimer Road, you're not going to want to leave. They've got a laser shot simulator in the back, which is basically like you can run the police course, but just with a laser gun. Really awesome. It's fun for all ages. Check out the new 511 Tactical Store today, 5870 Westheimer Road. Tell them AJ from ESPN 97.5 sent you.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Before we get to the gem of the day, Rott was bringing up a point that I kind of wanted to get to. Is like, what are the odds that the letter was forged and he thinks the sister did it? And as you brought up, she didn't know that they have Rickon. There's no way she knew that. But it wouldn't surprise me if that wasn't forged by someone like, oh, Peter Baelish. That'd be his kind of move. It is possible.
But how would Peter Baelish know that they had Rickon?
Because he knows everything. That dude, I mean, he's obviously manipulated that guy into sending the Knights of the Vale.
Yeah.
And he's always been that guy with his fingers in everything. So
was that not a Bolton, what's it called?
But that can't be faked.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like a letter Ramsey would write. But it also seems like something that someone might have done to make sure John was on board. Especially, you know, hell, the Red Witch could have done it. Anything. I mean, he's not the same guy, right? He's not the brave John Snow that we knew before. Right. He's obviously, death has changed him, as it often does in the show. All right.
John Snow's always been kind of a sensible guy, too.
Yeah, but I mean, sensible, but with honor and always brave and not afraid to take on anything. Well, he hasn't been that since he's come back.
Yeah.
He's been kind of, I just want to get out of here. All right. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, are you a fan of sharks? I know you don't like snakes or spiders.
Of course I don't like sharks.
You don't like sharks either?
I don't like things in nature that try to kill you.
Well, I'm actually going to side with this shark. It's a nurse shark in Boca Raton, Florida, of course, where a 23-year-old woman was taken to the hospital with a 2-foot nurse shark still clamped down on her right forearm. The shark had been killed before rescuers arrived, but it was still latched to the woman's arm. So they had to take her to the hospital with a shark latched to her arm. And, you know, at first glance, you're like, okay, maybe that's a bad thing. She got bitten by a shark. Well, apparently, a lot of the beachgoers, including the woman, were messing with the shark, at one point holding it by its tail. And, of course, if you keep messing with a shark, sooner or later, bad things are going to happen, right?
Yep.
It wasn't that big of a shark. It was only 2 feet long. But it's still a shark. Dude, it's got teeth.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And if you're going and screwing with the shark and the shark bites you, I'm kind of pissed that the shark died. I got to think the girl should die.
If you're a turd, it's going to come back to you.
Yeah, well, I hope she's learned a valuable lesson getting a shark removed from her arm.
Yeah, that's not wise, guys.
Yeah, so anyway, they took her to a regional hospital where she was treated and is in stable condition. The shark, of course, is not in stable. Well, technically, the shark is stable. It's dead.
Right.
So that is stable, right?
I would think so.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And people like that never learn. She's going to get attacked by something else.
Well, and I hope the next one's bigger and just destroys her, because people like that don't deserve to live anyway. So
what are those? I don't know if it's a barracuda or not. Are there barracudas like in the Gulf? Like you go to Galveston?
I don't think in Galveston. I think they have to be in clearer water. I know that they're in the Gulf when you go to Mexico, like in Cancun.
What are those fish that are about, I don't know, they're like 2 feet long, 2.5 feet long. They have kind of a long snout and they have really tiny, sharp teeth.
Yeah, like gars?
Maybe that's
alligator gars?
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know much about fish. I'm not a fisherman.
Yeah, they're not real dangerous though.
But those teeth are sharp, right?
Yeah.
And so when we went to the beach, my kids are like over by that there's a dead fish washed up on the shore, and they're like jangling. I'm like, if you keep sticking your hand around there, even if it's dead, and your hand touches those teeth, it's gonna hurt. How about don't be dumb and jack with things that can hurt you?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
It's never the answer.
Mark says,
Thank you for the fish lesson, yeah. By the way.
Anyway, that's your Zato Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
Mark says in the books, Ramsay writes the letter before Sansa escaped, but it's this is so far off from the books because the letter that Ramsay wrote involved the king behind the wall, who is long dead. It was when Stannis was there, who we didn't know whether he was alive or dead, and it wasn't even actually Sansa, it was a girl that they were using to pose as Sansa Stark. So that was the letter that actually got Jon killed in the book, because after he got the letter, he got all fired up and said, who's with me? And then that's when the Night's Watch said, oh, no, you can't do that. Whack, you're dead. So anyway.
Did you hear that story about Andrew Luck in Game of Thrones? He's a big booger eater nerd.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not watching the show anymore
until the books. I don't think he's watched a single episode. He said he's gonna wait until the entire series.
Who has time to read all those books and not watch the show?
Andrew Luck.
Come on.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't care about the books anymore now that the show's gone past them. But anyway. 713-780-ESPN. 832 screaming, stop talking about it past the 4:30 segment.
That's true.
People want to hear about it, though, man. If you're not caught up, that's a you problem. Maybe you shouldn't listen on Tuesdays at all. Miss all the other great stuff because you're not keeping up. And stop yelling, by the way. It's embarrassing. All right. Well, we're going to spoil Banshee for you next. So
yes.
If you're not up on that, don't listen then either. So that's on ESPN 97.5.
Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.